Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. And I'm going to read one verse and tip my hand and let you know that this is where the whole thing is heading and this is the completion of the sermon. Verse 10. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. So the title of the sermon is, Whose Plan and Timetable? And as I look around, I see a whole lot of people trying to gauge where we are in the scheme of the end times. And you see this on television sometimes. And lining up this and that catastrophe, and there's more to come, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and on it goes. And there's a basic mistake in all of that, namely, whose plan and timetable? And for all of the things that could happen in the world and all of the things that could come on the earth, that one verse from Jesus, that one quote from Jesus, that simple statement from Jesus is worth more than all of the other speculation about what is to come. The gospel must be preached to the whole world as a witness to all the nations. And in Matthew, he continues on, and then the end will come. Where are we charting out? The end of the age. The gospel must be preached to the whole world as a witness to all the nations. Now it is true that Jesus warns us that there will be hardship for the church of Christ. But this is throughout the ages. In this world you will have trouble, or in this world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. That's good news. We have Jesus' promise that he is in charge. And again, from the gospel lesson, on account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. Again, that's good news. We have Jesus' promise that opportunities for evangelism will find us out. And he is in charge. Down through history, many have had to stand up for the name of Jesus. And there were times when there was no way to prepare. The Apostle Paul, on the other hand, he had years to prepare. But then there were the martyrs in Rome. Their only preparation was the time that they had spent in worship and in living by faith. Martin Luther did not expect to be thrust into the public arena to have to confess the faith. But God gives the word. And this is also the weekend after Veterans Day. And the two themes converge when we remember that having the freedom to confess Jesus Christ, to speak our creed, to worship without the government telling us what we can and can't believe. That happens to be the single biggest reason behind the forming of our nation. And since the beginning of our nation, we have had both of the following going on. There has been a very long line of men and women standing up to serve and defend our nation and our freedoms. The first freedom being freedom of conscience before God. And they have said, just like the first patriots, that these freedoms are worth defending, even at the risk of their lives. And we have had a continual understanding that we as a nation kneel before and seek out and yield to the will of God. We have Thanksgiving Day coming up. We have had presidents call for national days of prayer. And we have had times of national repentance and turning to God. This is a part of our expression of our Christian faith. Around the world, it is not the same. There are millions and millions who long for these freedoms. And in the 20th century, there were in the 20th century more martyrs for the name of Jesus than in all the previous 19 centuries combined. There is a prayer that runs like this, that amid the changes and chances of life, our hearts may be set on serving you. We are Christians, and we have a completely different perspective on all of these things. Part of our testimony is that while the rest of the world is regularly in some sort of turmoil or panic, Christians have a friend in Jesus Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And while the rest of the world is in doubt and uncertain of the future, we have a good shepherd who holds and keeps us safe and says, no one is able to snatch you away. And while the rest of the world fears destruction and hopes for peace, we have a promise. Not a hair of your head will perish. That promise is fulfilled in the resurrection. And it's all the way back in the Old Testament where David says, you will not abandon my soul to decay, nor let your Holy One see corruption. The fact is that we live as strangers in this world. Do not put your hopes on having the kingdom of God visible around you. We are strangers, and that's why the whole world seems to be doing such odd things. It's part of a different kingdom. Sometimes you are not welcome. There are churches who have called themselves seeker churches and taken down the cross and other Christian symbols so that they may be more friendly and more comfortable to the non-churchgoer. Meanwhile, our immediate previous hymnal in the introduction, page 6, it says, very simply, we repeat back to God what He has first said to us. Very simple statement. And that is, in one sentence, the entire pattern of our worship. We repeat back to God what He has first said to us. And so we follow His words. We confess. We speak together with God. But for that simple idea, around the world, Christians are persecuted. And yet we have a friend who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the King of Heaven. And we can sing in the hymn of the Reformation, Let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The kingdom ours remaineth. Again, Jesus is the same. Jesus is the one who suffered and conquered death. He is our great high priest. And if you want to know God and know the very heart of God, simply look to Jesus. Learn from Jesus. Fill your eyes with Jesus. Fill your soul with his words. Look to him and see the true picture of the heart of God. In the gospel lesson, Mark 13. That was during Holy Week. And it was in Jerusalem. And it was as Jesus was preparing to sacrifice himself for the sins of the whole world, our great high priest. And every step along the way, Jesus was in charge. He was not out of control. He was bringing the perfect offering for the forgiveness of sins. And that offering was Jesus himself, perfect in sinlessness and perfect in faith. And so he opens up the way of salvation, and he teaches us the eternal truths that will set us free and see us through, all the way through the future and on into eternity, eternal truths that do not change. He is the sacrifice for sins. He is the one who sets us free. He is the one whose righteousness clothes us and covers us and allows us to stand before God. The gospel is still the same. Salvation is still by grace. It is by the grace of God. It is still received simply by faith. God's purpose is still the same. The gospel must be preached to the whole world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. And the end will come as Jesus has gathered out of every tribe and people and nation and language a people for himself to sing the praises of God, to share in eternal life and all the blessings of God. Oh, things will happen, but Jesus is in control. A powerful lesson on this happens to come along in Acts chapter 16. The previous chapter was where the church gathered to sort things out and make the good confession. And then in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are off on a mission trip, and there they are in Philippi. And they are arrested and put in prison. How they react to that is fascinating. They look around themselves and they see the other prisoners, and they realize God has opened a door, and we are able to share the gospel with people who we could never have met by knocking on doors or proclaiming in the streets. So there in prison to the other prisoners, they begin to tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, praying to God, singing praises. Even the jailer comes to faith. The joyfulness through the whole thing is striking. Jesus is in charge. That's the wisdom for our day, for our lives. Jesus is still the same, and he still does rule, and his plans and his timetable, that's the thing. That's the map. That's the compass to guide us through. The gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. Well, persecutions will come. But the victory belongs to God. And you ask those who have gone through persecution, and their witness becomes even more powerful. Having seen a Savior who is with them through all of that, a Savior who opens up the witness, a Savior who in the middle of persecution is working at bringing the persecutors into his church. The victory belongs to God, and it is coming. Jesus is still in charge. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So our lesson is, live joyfully and trust Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He's got this. In Jesus' name, amen.